Welcome back to Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. Mario Livio is pushing past another horizon, not just a senior astrophysicist at the Space Institute that manages the Hubble Space Telescope, not just a Renaissance man who connects science with classical music, not just an author of books of the history of science. Now he's taken on the role of guiding TV viewers through the mysteries of mathematics. MPT and other public television stations will premiere The Great Math Mystery on Nova at 9 p.m. tonight. And Dr. Livio is here in our studio. Welcome back.
My pleasure.
I recognize many of the topics in this hour of Nova from your book 6 years ago, Is God a Mathematician? And when I thought back on our conversation, the conversation you and I had about that book in 2009, it seemed to me you were really asking, is mathematics God? Is mathematics in charge of everything?
Right, in a way, that's right. I mean, I wasn't trying to determine what it is that God is doing. I was trying to determine how come that we explain everything in the universe in the language of mathematics, and that mathematics does so well in explaining everything in the universe, and not just explaining phenomena, but also predicting new phenomena that we have not yet seen. And then those phenomena are later discovered to be true.
And true in a much bigger universe than was known at the time, some of those mathematical...
Right. So just to give some simple examples, okay? So in the area of elementary particle physics, these are the subatomic particles, like the electron and these particles we call quarks and so on. And you may have heard of the Higgs boson, and things like that. So the Higgs boson is a good example. I mean, there is a mathematical theory that involves symmetry, certain symmetries of the subatomic world. And if that theory is correct, the theory says, then there should be some particle which we have not yet seen, but which does all kinds of miracles. It gives all the other particles mass and so on. And then 30, 40 years after that theory is written, in this huge Large Hadron Collider, in Geneva, Switzerland, they actually find the particle, this Higgs boson.
That matches the theory.
Yeah, the particle that was predicted to exist. It we have never seen it before, but it was predicted to exist, and guess what? It really exists.
This NOVA episode revisits one of the key themes of your book. Is mathematics a tool that humans create, or is it something that exists beyond humans, outside of us, something that we discover?
Right. This is an argument that, even though it is almost centuries old, it continues to be among mathematicians, philosophers, physicists chime in, and so on. So the question is really, does mathematics exist in some world of its own? We call that the Platonic world of mathematical forms, after Plato, who suggested that such a world exists? Or does mathematics, in fact, have no existence outside the human mind? We all invent these things, and so on. So this is the question with which mathematicians, philosophers, and other scientists have struggled and continues to struggle. I happen to have my own opinion on this, but...
you sort of hedge your bets on this.
Well, you see, that's the thing that I don't like when people tell me that.
Okay.
Because
how do you describe it?
Yes, because to say that I hedge my bets means that I cannot decide between the two, and therefore I hedge my bets. But what in fact I say is not that I hedge my bets, but in fact I say that when you ask the question in that way, is mathematics an invention or a discovery, you automatically give the impression that it has to be one or the other, and that can be nothing else. And in fact, what I'm suggesting is that mathematics is something else, that it is a combination, an intricate combination of inventions and discoveries, that humans invent the concepts of mathematics, and then they discover the relations among them. I can give you a very simple example.
Please.
So, for example, let's take the most simple of mathematical concepts, which is the natural numbers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, etc. How did humans get to such concepts as natural numbers? You know, humans were looking around them and they were seeing that you have humans that have two eyes, they have two hands, they have two ears, you know, and so on. From all of those, at some point, they have abstracted the concept of the number two. Eyes and hands and ears and other and breasts, they don't have anything to do with each other normally. It's just that once you abstract this two-ness from them, but that was a human-invented concept. That concept humans had to invent. Similarly with other numbers. Now, once they've already invented these concepts of the natural numbers, they suddenly discovered, and this is a discovery, all kinds of theorems. For example, that 3 squared plus 4 squared equals 5 squared, okay? 9 plus 16 equals 25. This was already forced upon us. We didn't invent that. Once we had the numbers 3, we had the number 4, we had the number 5, we had the concept of squaring a number, that theorem, you know, was actually forced upon us. So basically, humans invented the concepts and then discovered the theorems, or if you like, the relations among those concepts. So I'm not hedging my bets. I suggest that that is actually the true nature of mathematics.
Does it follow that if humans had even a partial role in the creation of what we call mathematics, maybe half, maybe even less than half, that it was not inevitable that mathematics be what it is today? Would a different set of human beings have created?
Yes, a different set might have created something different. I mean, I think there is actually a reason why, you know, the ancient Babylonians and Egyptians and eventually the Greeks actually started with number theory, you know, numbers and so on, and with concepts of geometry, you know, lines and triangles and so on. And I think that those have to do with our perception, with the human perception. So we are very good at telling where are the boundaries, where is one object and where that object ends and what is background and what is another object. That has helped us to define this concept of number. Okay, so here is one object, there is another object and so on. Similarly, we're extremely good at seeing if a line is actually straight or not, or if a circle is really a circle or an ellipse. So I believe that the emergence of geometry and number theory came because of that. Had our perception been very different, suppose instead of humans, the intelligent species on Earth would have been a jellyfish that lives at the bottom of the Pacific Ocean, okay? A single jellyfish. What this jellyfish would have felt would have been the temperature of the water, the pressure of the water, you know, and so on. Would it have come up with concepts of like our geometry or like numbers? I'm not so sure. There was nothing to count. It probably would have come up with things that are more continuous than the discrete things we're describing.
That's astrophysicist Mario Livio here on WIPR, Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about his role in the NOVA episode that airs tonight on MPT, The Great Math Mystery. So what is the great mystery of math?
The great mystery is really how come mathematics has the powers it has. How is it possible, for example, that Isaac Newton, you know, he took some laws on the motions of planets that astronomer Johannes Kepler discovered. Those observations that Kepler did had an accuracy, I mean, they had a precision of about 4%. I mean, they had errors of about 4%. From those laws, Newton wrote a mathematical law that describes the force of gravity, a very precise mathematical law. Right from the bat, I mean, that law that he wrote had a better precision than the observations on which it was made. In fact, by the 1950s, it was shown that Newton's mathematical law was better to one part in a million. So how is it possible that, you know, you take these rather scanty observations, you write something on mathematics that supposedly is supposed to explain what you see, but it explains it even better than what you saw originally. That's, you know, one way to ask it. Another way to ask it is very often mathematicians invent different branches of mathematics, new branches of mathematics, with absolutely no application whatsoever in mind, like the mathematics of knots, like knots in a string, okay? Mm-hmm. No application whatsoever in mind. Decades, sometimes centuries later, it is suddenly found that precisely that mathematics describes something fundamental in the universe. In the case of knots, you know, you may have heard of string theory.
Uh-huh.
You know, string theory, knots are very fundamental
sure.
in string theory. You know, but when knots were invented, nobody thought, nobody knew about string theory or anything. How does that happen?
And that's the mystery.
Yes.
So The Great Math Mystery is on public television tonight, and then a week later, next Wednesday, NOVA focuses on the Hubble Space Telescope on its 25th anniversary, and you're part of that show also. What is the most important thing that us non-scientists should know about the Hubble as it turns 25?
Maybe the most important thing you should know is that this is arguably the most amazing scientific experiment maybe of all time.
It's, wow.
Yeah, I said arguably in order mm-hmm. so that somebody may you know argue about one other one. You know, for 25 years, Hubble has not only touched upon every area of astronomy and made significant contributions to it, but it has also taken really the excitement of discovery and brought it into the homes of billions of people across the globe. And I believe that no other experiment has actually done that. I coined a phrase some, I forget, maybe 10 years ago or so that I said it has given us the universe. And I think that's really close to the truth. All of a sudden, everybody became interested in the universe because of the Hubble discoveries. And it has crossed that boundary that separates science from culture in general. And as a result, you know, you see Hubble images now on covers of books, on covers of music albums. There has been a Hubble cantata written inspired by Hubble images. There has been a dance piece that has been choreographed inspired by Hubble images. So all of this, this makes Hubble truly unique.
Hubble's getting old. It's got, what, 5 or 6 years?
Well, it's 25 years old. It's, I would say it's 25 years young. Because it has the best complement of instruments it has ever had. You know, Hubble has been serviced 5 times mm-hmm. by shuttle astronauts, and every time they've put in new instruments, they repaired old ones, they made other repairs, and so that Hubble is right now just about as productive as it has ever been. So the plan is that it will work at least 5 more years, namely at least till 2020. But, you know, if nothing will fail, I don't see any real reason why it couldn't work another decade.
It's always so much fun talking to you. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Astrophysicist Mario Livio, the guiding voice in tonight's episode of PBS's NOVA series, The Great Math Mystery. At our website, wipr.org/Marilyn Morning, we've got more information about the NOVA episodes and Dr. Livio, and also that 2009 interview about his book, Is God a Mathematician? I'm Sheila Cast, ahead on Marilyn Morning, an arts festival expanding. Stay with us on 88.1.